smoking those tries, man.
Okay. All right. I'm Rosie Denton, and I have ovarian cancer. Diagnosed probably about 3 years or so ago. Had multiple lines of chemo, and just about, well, right now, hoping to get on a trial next week. So that's about where I'm at. What I just want to say is, for all of you ladies out there and all of the men who love them, you really need to know the symptoms of ovarian cancer. Because it's a pretty sneaky disease. It looks like a lot of other things. So often when they catch it, it's quite advanced, like stage 3C, and it's pretty difficult to treat at that stage. So the things you need to look for are abdominal bloating. Help me, Tish. What else?
Definitely a change in bowel habits, yes. And lower back pain.
Yeah. Abdominal pain as well that just persists. So you can see it's a little bit similar to other things like irritable bowel and stuff. But the thing to do is to continue to persist to see your doctor to get an answer about what it is. And I really have to thank my husband because he was the one who said to me, Rose, just keep coming back until you get your answer. And that's how I was finally diagnosed. So that's a real message for you guys. Another thing that you need to know about ovarian cancer is your family health history. So your personal family health history. So anyone in your family who's had cancer, and more specifically breast cancer or ovarian cancer. So you need to know that and be able to tell your doctor about that because it's 10 to 20% of cases of ovarian cancer have a genetic link.
So, Tish.
Okay, so I went in for a routine endometriosis operation in 2004, age 34, and got a phone call a few days later from my gynecologist letting me know that she'd biopsied my ovaries and had found ovarian cancer. A few days later, I was in for a full hysterectomy. I've had chemotherapy, multiple surgeries, radiotherapy, and still chemotherapy now. I was very, very grateful that I had my two boys here when I was young. And I really also agree that you just have to persist if you think there's something wrong. Something showed up on a scan of mine quite a while before, but I was told that I was too young. For it to be of concern. I've sat in a chemo room with a group of women in their 30s and 40s, so there is no stereotype. It can, can get anyone. So that would be my real message. Know the signs and symptoms and persist.
There's a lot of awareness around breast cancer, which is great, but for me, it's something that this isn't really talked about much. Is this important to get the message out there?
Absolutely, and I think that the awareness is increasing over the past few years, but certainly not all cancer is breast cancer. So, yeah, if we can try and get our awareness up, there is no early detection test, and that's another really important thing, and there's no screening program for ovarian cancer. And also, apparently, over 50% of the population believe that pap smears detect ovarian cancer. They do not. They only detect cervical cancer.
Must be pleasing then to get the awareness in front of 50,000 people on Sunday at a poor camp.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wonderful, thank you, ladies. Thank you very much. Now invite.
And he's up after a win for a charge. That's how you always play.
That was the deal.
He's the fool.
Yeah, just firstly, just for Leticia and Rose to come and share their story, that's true courage, I think, talk about a lot of things on the footy field and what we go through, but that's nothing compared to being able to talk about themselves and what's going on to raise awareness for ovarian cancer and a really important issue. So let's hope that we can get everyone down and raise as much money as possible for the cause on Sunday.
So you call on poor fans to when they're coming to the game?
Yeah, we've got the tin rattling going along and donate there and, as much money as we can get. It's going to a great cause and certainly something that we should all be able to do.
A couple of absences this morning. You talk us through Boakey, Wingard.
Yeah,
and
Charlie. Nothing going on there. I'm obviously Chatty with his concussion, just monitoring. That's sort of looking after him there. And Dicko's a bit crook. Winter coming in, someone gets a bit crook, sort of keeping away from the boys. And then Boakey's just going home for a day or two, just with a personal issue. So he'll be back and raring to go. So we're all fine.
So Wingard and they're all the two of them. Sick and concussion, they're both okay to play this week at this stage?
Yeah, should be fine. We'll just obviously monitor Chad and then Dicko will be fine. He's just, like winter comes along, everyone gets a bit crook.
Awesome.
such a good win. How does Jackson force his way back into the side?
Look, that's something the match committee will have to discuss. Obviously, Jacko is a great player for us, and you know, you expect him to play his role and to be right up there to come back in. So I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. They'll talk through that. Hopefully we can find a spot there.
I know last year the loss to Brisbane was pretty hurtful and surprising, and in that documentary it was the big talk. And do you look back to that game and try and think about making sure it doesn't happen again?
Not necessarily look back to it. You know, we've moved on from last year. Brisbane have played some great footy the last two or three weeks. They had a win and they pushed the Swans on the weekend. They're coming with really good form. So we're not going to take it any differently, as we shouldn't, to any other game. Like we said, they're playing good footy and they're very dangerous, and any team's dangerous if you get a bit complacent playing in the competition. So, you know, we're going to prepare as best we can like we did last week, and it's just important that we all do our team roles, which is what we did so well on the weekend, and we replicate that.
Do you feel like you guys have done something wrong to someone somewhere, given copping a lot of injuries and a lot of long-term injuries as well?
Doesn't seem like things have been going too well for us at the moment, but you know, on the flip side, they'll turn around hopefully. You just gotta keep doing the right things and training hard, and it'll work its way back around eventually. So we can't control any of that stuff. We just gotta look after what we can do and train hard and just play consistent footy and do our team stuff.
One of those injuries is ruckman Matthew Lowe. Obviously wasn't in the first last week, but how do you see, obviously, for the next 3 months without a major key number one ruckman in the side?
Yeah, it's disappointing for Lobes. You know, he puts his heart and soul into the club. So he'll miss a fair chunk of footy with his knee. So the only thing is, it gives a few boys another opportunity to play in that role. And we did it on the weekend with Dougs taking the majority of the ruck. So, you know, to put a bit of weight on some of those guys' shoulders to lift up and play that position. But, you know, we feel like we've got the guys there, and just be something that we'll have to deal with, I guess. But yeah, very disappointing for Lobes.
Does it change the way that you shape up a little bit? I mean, we can't expect Dougal in the second year to be as dominant as the number one ruckman can be. Do you have to change the midfield a little bit?
I'll be honest with you, that's, you know, the midfield to deal with. I'm a defender, I don't sort of have a whole lot of idea what's going on in there, but I'm sure Vossi and that will work around it. But I think it's on the weekend, Dougal cracked in and we did pretty well in the midfield battle. So, you know, so if we can just give a contest, that's all we can ask for.
How big a step did you take, do you think, in that win over Richmond on the weekend? You had a lot of players out that's been talked about a lot, but kept them to 59 points. What sort of steps did you take, do you think?
I think I just mentioned it before. It's just we played. Kenny put a big emphasis on not the personnel that's playing, but the 22 players just in the jumper doing exactly what's required of them, you know, structurally and team roles and being competitive. And, you know, sometimes you lose, sometimes you win, but as long as you have a crack at it, you're going to win more games than not. And that's the most important thing, is not playing for yourselves, doing the team roles and doing the team things, and the rest will look after itself.
Is that how you best overcome so many injuries? Just to everyone contribute?
Yeah, I think even with or without injuries, if you know you got some of your so-called talented players in the team or not, if everyone's doing their part, then it's going to go a long way to achieving what the coaches see and what the coaches think we're capable of.
Was that not happening early in the season?
Yeah, that was probably part of it. Yeah, you know, we had blokes, we weren't playing quite well, gelling as a team too well. And just weren't being competitive enough and winning enough contested footy, and yeah, that was part of it.
Ollie Wine said after the game that the coaches caught a lot of flack, obviously, when Port was losing. So he said the players got together before the Richmond game and sort of said enough's enough, the players have to drive this, not the coaches.
Can you talk us through that
and how that unfolded?
At the end of the day, you know, the coaches throughout the week can talk as much as they want and provide as much as they want for us, but we're the ones out there playing footy, and ultimately it comes down to us and how well we play and how we put their structures into play. So that's what it come down to, I guess, and it just sort of triggered a reminder for us that, you know, if we're going to pull ourselves out of the form we're in, the form slump, it's up to us as players. The coaches can't do it for us.
Who drove that? Was it Boke here? Who got the players?
It was just sort of leadership group and the playing group as a whole. We just sort of banded together. I know a lot's been said, the disunity and all that, but there's none of that going on. You know, we just pulled together and just had a chat and realised, yeah, it is up to the players to have a crack and pull us out of it.
So what day of the week was that?
It was just ongoing throughout the week, just Okay. Whenever we brought it up, just having a bit of a chat that the things we've got to fix it up.
Was it driven by Bogey or
just the
leadership group?
Just the whole group, yeah, the whole team. Yeah.
Yep. And you touched on it, so that's the focus for the rest of the year, is it?
Yeah, well, like I said, it's the players are the ones out there. They're the only ones that can make a change. The coaches can do as much as they can throughout the week at training and with meetings and stuff, but we're the ones that play for 2.5 hours on the weekend and we're the only ones that can get the result.
Personally, I think you're leading the 1%ers in the AFL. Is that an accolade you take a bit of pride in the club does?
Oh, look, you know, you try and, as a defender, that's probably sort of the only thing you can sort of achieve a little bit sometimes. And, you know, I just think it's good to look after your teammates. And as a backs group, I think even though we've had some pretty high scores kicked against us, we've banded together pretty well. And, you know, we enjoy helping each other out and take a little bit of satisfaction out of, yeah, trying to limit the opposition and just have a crack for the team. As I said before, the team roles are the important things and just try and do them as best you can sometimes.
Thanks, mate.
Just in time.
Thank you.
Might have a quick photo. What do you want to do?
You're always
probably...
That was the...